Tonight is the authority to rule and reign. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I really believe that timing is important, and I think that this class is right on time. I don't think this is just a coincidence that we're talking about authority right now. So Luke 10, verse 17, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Isn't that something? "Subject to us in your name. And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" Look at verse 19. It says, "I give you the authority." He's delegated power to trample on serpents and scorpions. And again, the serpent represents the devil. Serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, evil, bad things that aren't, you know, sickness, poverty, anything that you can think of that would be evil or wrong or bad, you shall trample on that. And over all the power. Everybody say all. Not just some. All the power of the devil. Everything he is. He's given us the authority to trample over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that really just struck me, that all the power, I mean, whatever you can think of, and not just part of it, but all of the Satan's very best, the very best that he can throw at you, you can trample. You've been given the power to overcome in the name of Jesus. All right, so this was a preview for what was going to happen with the church. He was talking to his disciples, but he was preparing to leave, and let's go over to the last thing he says to the church in Matthew 28. I love Matthew 28. How about you? Matthew 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," all, there's that word again, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So does Jesus keep all this authority? Does he just keep it for himself? No, he delegates it, and he says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All authority has been given to me. The King James says, all power, but the correct translation is authority, all authority. Using your authority causes the power to be released. So it's not good enough just to have the authority. It's not good enough just to know you have the authority. The power is released when you exercise it. And that's why we spend so much time talking about discipleship. That's why we spend a lot of time and energy on the School for Life, teaching people their authority, teaching people who they are in Christ. But it's just not so we know more, and we've got bigger heads, is so that we do something with it. And there will be no power, no disciples will be made until you go. I mean, these are verbs here. What does it say? Go, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, teach them to observe. So the power is released when we do something. There's got to be an action. And I think of anything that the church has to do in this hour is we've got to act. We've got to act boldly. We can no longer just sit there and wait for some kind of, I don't know what, some kind of cloud to come in, or some kind of burning bush experience, or what. I don't know what we're waiting on, but we've been given this authority. He's delegated it to us. Now it's time for the church to rise up and do something with it. If all we do, again, you know, I talked this morning about it, but if all we do is just talk, what do we have? You know, it's action. So we've been authorized to make disciples. The authority is used to make the disciples. That's what all this power and authority is about. It's to make disciples. We are here to reclaim what Adam lost when he fell. The power and the authority is to reclaim mankind. I heard Reinhard Bonnke say this, that we are plundering hell to populate heaven. Isn't that something? If you're a disciple tonight, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but not as many that are really true disciples. If you're a disciple, that ought to be on your heart, to plunder hell and populate heaven. But, you know, I was thinking about this, about authority and about understanding authority and walking authority. And when you check the chlorine on your pool, they give you a little pool tester, chlorine level and acid level and everything like that. You have this little, like, it's two test tubes, and you put your finger over it, and you reach it down in the water, and you do it about 18 inches, and then you turn it over, and then you remove your finger so the water can go in the test tube, and then you pull it out, and you're getting a sample of that water, and then you're going to pour your little chemicals in there, and it's going to test the chlorine level, right? But I realized that water's not going to go in there until I remove my finger. And I think the church has been that way. We've been plugged up. And it's now time to open up your spiritual ears and open up your spiritual heart and let the revelation of this authority come into your life. And let it come in and affect you so much so that you'll begin to act on it. And that's my prayer. That's my prayer tonight as we go through this class, that we will act. That we, you know, and again, this is something that we grow in. You know, I wish we could just, in one class, get everything done. But we know that it's day by day, right? But you have a part in this, that we can talk about authority. We can have a whole school for life on authority. But if you don't open your heart to receive and think about these things, it's not going to do any good. So do that tonight. Even though you've heard these things before, let's pretend this is the first time that you've heard this. And get hungry tonight. Because I'm telling you, there's some desperate people out there that need, and I know I say this all the time, that need you to walk in this. You are important. You're so important that God sent His Son. And if you were the only one, He'd send His Son for you. And I want you to be blessed. I want you to have all your desires and dreams to come true. But I think that what God has really been saying to me, and I know I was kind of like fussing when I got back from our vacation, but I want to do something. I want to do something with all this knowledge that we have. Let's talk about authority and let's do it. So we have to believe. We have to believe what the Word says. And believe means to live in accordance with. Belief that leads to action. That's what true believing is. A true believer is someone that believes it and acts on it. So we've been given His authority, not a watered down version. I think we kind of think we've got a kind of a watered down version of authority. We really haven't got a hold of that. It's that Jesus delegated His authority that was given to Him to the church. I think the example that came in my mind was that of a security guard. Maybe a security guard versus a policeman. You know, a policeman has all the authority of the laws of that city. That badge represents all that authority. And he has a lot of rights and privileges that go with that badge. He can exercise authority. He can carry a gun. He can arrest somebody. He can do a lot of different things. But a security guard, and there are some good ones out there, but the security guards that I've seen, if anything, if there was any sign of danger, I mean, they'd turn and run. I mean, they were... You know, I ended up having to handle a lot of the problems with different things. The security guard was nowhere to be found. And that's sometimes, I think, how the church is kind of looked at is, you know, there's the policeman. Jesus has the authority. Oh, he's powerful. But then there's the church. We've got some kind of watered down. We're kind of like they have the NFL and then arena football. The church is kind of arena football. It's not, you know, it's football, but it's not quite the NFL. Or the PGA and the buy.com tour or whatever. I mean, who knows any of those guys on any of those tours besides the PGA? We are. What am I saying? We are the PGA. We are the NFL. We are the policemen. We're it. We don't got a watered-down version. We actually have the authority that God gave to Jesus, the authority that Jesus himself walked in. Or let me say it again. The authority that Jesus walked in when he was on the earth, read the Gospels, has been given to us. God himself is the power behind our authority. Our commands are enforced by him. Our commands, based on God's word, based on who we are in Christ. When you give a command, all of heaven, the angels, will back up your words. And God, He's the greatest force and power in the universe. He's the one that's backing it up. And He'll see to it that it's accomplished. The Word of God in a believer's lips is powerful. It can change the world. Those 12 men changed the world. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. I think we're living in that same hour where there's got to be a church in this city that will change the city, that will turn it upside down. The authority of Jesus is now being exercised in the earth through believers, the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Are you in the body of Christ? You're a part of the body. You are in the body of Christ. The church is in the body of Christ. Jesus is not doing anything on the earth himself personally except through his body. Nothing will be done for God unless it's done through his body. And that's where the works of Jesus, where the will of God is being carried out. If you don't do it, no one else will do it. We were the body. Now let's talk about ruling and reigning with him. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. It ought to be underlined. These passages ought to be underlined in your Bible. They ought to be marked. They ought to be starred. They ought to have things written by them. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that you had a ministry tonight? Did you know that you're in the ministry? You're in the ministry of reconciliation. That is, explaining what it is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's given us these things. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Look, listen to that. God is pleading through us. When you're out witnessing, and you're talking to someone and sharing the gospel, God is speaking through you. When you're ministering to a coworker at work, or maybe a family member, maybe you're going to pray for him, maybe you're just going to encourage him, God himself is speaking through you to reconcile, to help that person. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. We're part of his body. We've been given authority. We're ambassadors, the scripture says. An ambassador is the highest rank. You are the highest ranking diplomatic representative. Boy, what a title. You looking for a title? Highest ranking diplomatic representative appointed by one government to represent it to another. We are God's ambassadors. We are officials. We are representatives of God. We represent him to other people. You represent Jesus to your neighborhood. You represent Jesus. And I'm telling you, in many cases, you're the only one that does. You represent Jesus at your job. You're an ambassador, and so you got to conduct yourself in a certain way. That country, wherever that ambassador goes, that they're watching this ambassador. They may even have spies watching him. They're bugging. They got bugs in his room to hear what he's doing. They're watching him to see how he conducts himself. We are ambassadors for Christ. You are a high ranking, the highest ranking official. And we ought to conduct ourselves in that manner as ambassadors. Everybody say, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. We act on his behalf, doing kingdom business. We are ambassadors from heaven. Hallelujah. You are an ambassador from heaven, ambassadors of the anointing. You can go on, ambassadors of love, ambassadors of peace, ambassadors of prosperity, ambassadors of healing, ambassadors of joy. You're whatever. I mean, anything good you can think of, you're an ambassador. You represent God. We act on behalf of his interests, and we're using the authority delegated to us by Jesus. And then again, all of heaven's power backs what we authorize. Philippians 3:20 says that we're a citizen of heaven. We live as citizens of heaven with all the rights and benefits. You know, so many people are trying to put off what God wants to do here on the earth to heaven. You're already a citizen of heaven. Start walking in your rights and privileges now. Say that with me. I'm a citizen of heaven. You got, as a citizen of the United States, you have certain rights and privileges. Who's all been to another nation? Raise your hand. You know, when you go to some of these nations, you can almost spot the Americans. First of all, they don't try to learn the other language. They think they can buy anything. They're arrogant, cocky, you know, especially if you're from a place like Texas, you know. But that's because they're a citizen of the United States. They've got privileges. They've got the U.S. government behind them. And they have kind of like an attitude, don't mess with me. We'll send our army and we'll wipe you guys out. Well, we're of the citizenship of heaven. I mean, I like George Bush, but God beats out George Bush. God's army is much bigger than our army. So I'm not saying to be arrogant, but to be confident in whose kingdom that we're involved in here, where you're from. We are exempt from Satan's rule in this world. He has no legal right to operate in your life and realm of authority. He has no legal right. Now, again, we know that he's a liar. We know that he's a deceiver. We know that he's going to try to sneak in there. But if you spot him, you can take authority over him, and he must obey you. God's plan is for you to reign in life as kings. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, who has the Amplified? Amplified says, will reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Do you feel like God's trying to tell you something here? We've talked about citizenship in heaven. We've talked about being ambassadors. And now he's talking about being kings. Are you seeing something here? Are you seeing something about your position? You don't have a low position. And I know some days you don't feel like you have a royal position. But this is more than feelings. This is not feelings. This is a knowing. And this is a confidence. You rule your kingdom. And we won't get into this, but you call the shots. Because we're going to talk about this next week. You call the shots by your words. What you allow in your kingdom will be allowed. What you won't allow won't be allowed. And I can give you the scripture in Matthew 18, 18. What you bind will be bound. Right? Remember that scripture? You're the king. You're the king of the castle. And I think as I'm studying these things, I'm just, again, realizing the attitude so many times we are waiting on someone else to come into our kingdom and take care of the devil for us. When we are the king, we are the ambassador. We have the citizenship in heaven. We're the ones to take the authority. We're the ones to rebuke the devil in our life. We're the one to rule and to reign. No one else is to rule and reign in your kingdom. You're to rule and to reign. And I know when you're a baby Christian, that's definitely a time when you need help, and you go to the pastor and you go to various people to help. But there comes a point along the way, and again, talking about the school for life, there comes a place when you have to stand on your own two feet and walk in the authority that God has given to you. How much longer are we going to wait? We can't wait any longer. Now is the time. Now is the time. Everybody say that. I'm an ambassador. I'm a king. I rule in my kingdom. Ruling and reigning. Now this is, again, the responsibility is on us. We got to stop trying to put the responsibility on God. The responsibility is on us. We are making his enemies to be his footstool. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 12. By this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. The footstool will be under his feet. His feet are a part of his body. So again, the church will make Jesus' enemies his footstool. We're the ones that will do it. And I think it's interesting that it's talking about the feet. The feet are the lowest part of the body. Even the lowest part of the body of Christ. You may be sitting here tonight and thinking, man, this is over my head. I mean, I'm not ready for this. But I'm telling you, the least amongst us here tonight can walk in this. The least part of the body. We're the body. We're the ones that are going to do it. Through exercising the authority that he delegated to us, we will do the same works, even greater works than he did. John 14:12 says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. You will do greater works. Greater works than Jesus. Greater works than casting out devils. Greater works than laying hands on the sick. Greater works than raising the dead. Part of that is getting people saved, getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost. Jesus never did any of those things. We can do greater works than Jesus. Are you seeing something tonight about who you are? Are you seeing something tonight how valuable and precious you are? Are you seeing something tonight that you make a difference, that it's important for you to be here? It's important for you to hear this. It's important for you to act on this. I'm talking about the young people here. You all can act on this and do this. You can do the works of Jesus. You can do the works of Jesus. The oldest person here, the youngest person here. My two daughters went out on the with the outreach team. They go out on a regular basis. They go out and get people saved. They lead people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They pray for people, and they expect God to back up their prayers. It's not a matter of age. It's a matter of understanding and comprehending and giving it some thought and giving it some study. You know, if you go to a doctor or a lawyer, do you want your doctor or lawyer to be knowledgeable in their area? Or do you want to go to some guy that is just practicing on you? You know, you want someone that has studied, someone that has made some effort to learn these things, that is skilled. And so that's going to take a little effort on our part. You know, of all these things, we're going to have to want this. I wish it all could just drop in our lap. I really do. I mean, how can I create some robots here in the church and I'll just sit in the pastor's study and control them and they'll go out and get people saved? No, I can't do that. It's got to be willing vessels, and then it's got to be vessels that have some knowledge. So you have got to want this. You have got to desire this. You've got to be hungry for this. Are you hungry to see the power of God flow through you? The message, how bad do you want it? How bad do we want it? Are we willing to get it in us? Are we willing to confess it until we believe it? Are we willing to work on that image on the inside of us until it manifests in our actions? I liked what was said the other night on the School for Life, and I think this is really the case, talking about people reading, how we homeschool our kids and you're teaching them to read and you get frustrated because there's no progress and they're not getting it and you don't seem to be getting anywhere, and all of a sudden, one day they get it and they start reading everything and they're saying all the words and you're like wondering, where did that come from? Day by day. And tonight, I believe a little more, another piece of the puzzle that you need is coming tonight. It's something you've got to want this. You've got to desire this. You've got to desire to walk in this, to do the works, to do the works of Jesus, to do the works of Jesus in this city. We've had one person in this church that they're not with us now, but they called somebody back to their body. They had died. And their flesh wanted to run because the person was having a seizure and the person's tongue went in their throat. And the first instinct, and I'm sure maybe we all might feel this, is like, man, I got to get out of here. But it's like she said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to run. I'm going to do what I've learned to do. And we'll talk about this in a minute, but She commanded that person to live in the name of Jesus. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. Someone that really didn't even really know all of the ins and outs, doesn't even know as much as you know, raised somebody from the dead. I believe we're going to have some more testimonies. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do. Greater works. Greater works. We will do greater works. Exercising the authority that he has delegated to us. We will do the same works, do even greater works that he did. Our authority in the name of Jesus. Look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We've been given the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus carries with it supreme authority in the universe. There's no other name that is higher. All that Jesus was, read about in the Gospels, all that Jesus was, his name is. All that Jesus was, he will be forever through his body, which is us. So that name is powerful. The whole world stands at attention at that name, the name of Jesus. We've been given that name. Look in John 16. John 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. He's saying to them, ask in my name. Pray in my name. Speak in my name. And God will personally back it up and he will give it to you. He said, up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. You want to have joy in your life? You want to be full of joy? Use the name of Jesus. Use that name that you've been given. You're authorized to pray in the name of Jesus. You're authorized to use the name of Jesus. We're taking his place on the earth, acting as his representatives, using the authority he gave us to carry out his will. The name of Jesus is ours. That name is yours to use. If you're a Christian tonight, that name is yours. You now, just like I own this vest and this shirt and these pants, the name of Jesus is mine to use. God has given it to us. He's given us to use. We're acting as his representatives, using the authority to carry out his will. Our position in Christ, this is awesome. Our position in Christ gives us the same standing with the Father that Jesus has. Remember what 1 John 4:17 says? As he is, so are we in this world. So let me give you the picture. When you go to the hospital room to minister to someone, when you walk in the door, Jesus walks into the room. When you speak to someone, and when you pray or when you command something in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus himself, it's the same, is ministering. The body of Christ is ministering. That same anointing, that same power is ministering to that person. Your words, we're in Christ, we're in him. And again, we use that illustration about the garment bag, but that is so true. When you are born again, and it's really, it happens when you're born again, but it comes through understanding and teaching and revelation. But it's that garment bag. And you step into that garment bag in him, and it is zipped up, and you are now in Christ. And so when the angels, now get this now, you know, there's a spirit realm, obviously. There's a natural realm, and there's a spirit realm. Say you walk into that hospital room, there's a spirit realm there. And there's demons and devils, and they're angels. For those who believe and act on what they believe, those that believe God's word and act on it, when those angels and those demons see you, they don't see Matt Judd, they see Jesus. and they will respond to the words spoken. Now, do very many people walk in that? No. And, well, if that's the case, well, why don't we just go over to the hospital and, you know, clear out that hospital? Well, there's the other person has a part to play. Like I talked about the test tube with the cork on it or the finger over it, it has to be open. I mean, I can't go into that hospital room and make that person get healed if they don't want to be healed. That would mean that I would have power over their will. And the will of man is, again, we've said this before, is more powerful than God in that person's life. But I've seen this before now. But when the person is open to you, many times someone that's not saved or a sinner will be more open than a religious person or someone that's been in church. But when that person is open, and then another person, a faith person, someone that maybe have a little knowledge or a lot of knowledge, comes on the scene, and that person is open, that's when you got miracles. That's when you have signs and wonders. That's when you have, and we've experienced that. We've seen that. Sometimes you have to work with the person to minister. You know, you don't just go in there with your guns blazing. You know, you got the shotgun, and you're just blowing everything away. I mean, we got the Rambo Christians here. You know, an ambassador has some tact. They follow a protocol. There's a protocol to be followed. And again, that's where we talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do. Sometimes it'll be just a matter of you coming and praying or you coming and speaking. Other times there may be some word to be administered. But, you know, even sometimes, though, the word may be administered and they may still not receive it. That is frustrating for every one of us to hear. I do not want to hear that. But you have to know that tonight. But it doesn't discount the power of God. The power of God is as real as the electricity. I mean, the lights here, the power that is running this air conditioner and running these lights and all the different things, that power is just as real. It's more powerful than that. The anointing is more powerful than that. And so what you're trying to do with people is get them hooked up to the power. If you can get them hooked up to the power, the burden will be removed and the yoke will be destroyed. So what we're using this authority for, again, it's not to make us look great. We're using the authority to reconcile people to God. We're using the authority to bring people to God. Just like an ambassador wants to establish a relationship between this country and this country. That's what the main purpose of the authority. But he's given us that name, the name of Jesus. He's given us the power of attorney. You're right there. Look in John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit. God wants us to bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And we call this the power of attorney. Do you know what the power of attorney is? If I gave Gary here the power of attorney for me, he could sign checks, he could sign legal documents, and it was like that I was signing it. He has the power of attorney. We've been given the power of attorney. We've been authorized to sign Jesus. We can sign the name. We can use the name. We can use the name and have the same results that he had. One translation says, you ask of the Father in my name, I will endorse. Again, that's a banking word. I will endorse that and the Father will give it to you in the name of Jesus. We have every legal right. You tonight have every legal right to use his name. And again, but people are still waiting for some impartation. We're waiting for the special anointing. We're waiting for the oil to be dumped on us. We're waiting for some other prophet to come to town and for him to do something special so that we'll receive this special authority. No, just as a child in my house has the rights and privileges growing up in my house. You have these rights and privileges were given to you when you were born again. You don't have to, you know, have somebody lay hands on you for this. This is not an impartation. This is who you are. You have the power of eternity. Let's take our place and give God the glory. We talked about works earlier with Mark 16 records what these works, some of the works. Mark 16, verse 15. Go into the world. There it is, go again. It's action. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. In my name they will speak with new tongues. In my name they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. In my name they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's how you need to read that when you're reading that. It's in my name. We cast out devils, speak with new tongues, go unharmed, lay hands on the sick in his name. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Through the name of Jesus, we're saved. We preach. In Luke 24, it says we preach in the name. We preach to all the nations in the name of Jesus. We've already read it in Matthew 28. We make disciples in the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38, we baptize them in the name of Jesus. I already read this, Luke 10:17, demons are subject to us in the name of Jesus. We make demands on our covenant rights in his name. John 14, verse 13. I love John 14, 15, 16, 17. Those are great chapters. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. Again, it's for the glory of God. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Are you seeing this? The name of Jesus is our legal authorization to receive any blessing from God. We use his name. Jesus personally sees to it. He's our covenant brother, covenant partner. He personally, himself, sees to it that our requests are granted. It is as though Jesus himself were praying. And now let me ask you this. If Jesus was here tonight, I'll ask you, James. If Jesus was here tonight and he was going to pray for something in an area of your life, would you have any doubt that that prayer would be answered? You'd know that it'd be done. You'd know it. And you know that when Jesus prays, God hears his prayer. We've now been given the name of Jesus. We can now pray. And if the church would get to the place where we had that same confidence in ourselves praying that prayer, we'd really have something, wouldn't we? That's the will of God, though. That's the plan of God. That's the plan of God for believers to boldly pray and ask God for things that are already entitled to us in the name of Jesus. And Jesus will see that it's done. God always hears Jesus' prayers. Does he hear yours? Does God hear your prayers? All of heaven will pay as much attention to your prayers as they do to Jesus' prayers. Remember Jesus at Lazarus' tomb? You always hear my prayer. And I tell you, when you use the name, it's like God, he gives us a signed check. He endorses it. He gives us a signed check to the resources of heaven. Now let's end up here tonight talking about the miraculous use. The early church had a revelation of the use of his name. Let's just quickly go through this. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, Acts 3 verse 1. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting to receive. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And took him by the right hand. The spirit realm moved when Peter spoke. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Hallelujah. That's the early church. I believe we're there now for this church, the latter church, to do the works of Jesus. And again, it comes by a revelation. It comes by seeing it on the inside. You've got to see it in here before it'll manifest out there. It's going to take some meditation. It's going to take some listening to some tapes. It's going to take some hunger. It's going to take, you know, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. All right, and the question I have, I mean, for all of us, including myself, am I hungry? Am I hungry for this? Or am I just going to try to coast by or get by on someone else's faith? Verse 16 says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts 4, verse 17. And the Sadducees didn't like this man getting healed. And so they tried to stop it and to stop Peter and John, to stop disciples. And so let's pick it up at verse 17. And so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in his name. And so they call them and command them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Isn't it interesting that they didn't mention the resurrection here? Isn't it interesting that they said to him, well, we don't want you to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. We don't want you to talk that he was raised on the third day. The thing that they were most concerned was the church, the disciples, using that name. They didn't want him to use that name. And really, and I believe that these guys were backed by the devil. So the devil didn't want the disciples to use the name of Jesus, just like he doesn't want the church today to use the name of Jesus. He will fight it. He will come against it. He will do whatever he can to stop it, to stop the name from being used. He doesn't like it because he knows when someone with authority speaks that name. And see, the thing that messes with the devil is now instead of one Jesus in one place, he's got 100,000 of them, or a million of them, or a billion of them all over the earth. He can't handle it. It messes with him. He can't handle it. And so he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to lie. He's going to deceive. He's going to cheat. He's going to do whatever he can to weaken the power of the name. First of all, and I hate to say it, but he's done a pretty good job of this, but I believe this is changing. The first thing he wants to do is keep someone ignorant. Don't say the devil too loud. We don't want him to hear. Let's not even talk about that. So if you're not going to talk about demons and devils, you're certainly not going to talk about the name of Jesus. So he wants to keep us ignorant. I think this is interesting here, though. This is what the religious people were afraid of, using this name. Acts chapter 5. And when they started using the name, let's look what happened. Jesus taught them to use the name. You're wondering why they used the name? Jesus taught them to use it. We just read it in John. He taught them. And it wasn't until they were baptized in the Holy Ghost that the revelation of what he was saying came to them. But they got the revelation, and then they began to do it. And then Acts 5, verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Acts 5, verse 16, and a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Verse 29, this was their prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand. Look at the language. speak His word. Stretch out your hand. They had the revelation. When they were stretching forth their hand, they were stretching forth God's hand. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. All right, now, Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened as we went into prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, and who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus." That's a good way to say it. "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Now, if you'll read further, this caused a riot in the city, so just be ready. When you start using the name, there may be a little persecution, but that's okay. Talks about the hundredfold. Anybody here want the hundredfold? Well, it says that you'll have the hundredfold now and this time with persecutions. So a little persecution never hurt anybody. They have a riot in your family. God will give you the wisdom how to handle it. They have a riot at the grocery store or whatever, wherever you go. I mean, God will give you the wisdom how to deal with it. Gave Paul and Silas the wisdom here. Now let me show you how not to use the name. Acts 19, verse 14. This is how not to use the name. 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord. Even though the phrase, call the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Now that's a real authoritative statement, isn't it? Confidence, boldness. I can see him doing that, hiding behind, you know, something, or hiding behind a bodyguard or something. "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known, I guess so, quite a story here. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. It was magnified because they had some people trying to imitate and play around with it and toy around with it. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of them all, and they counted up the value of them in a total of 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So am I telling you tonight to go over to everybody's house that has a sick person and any kind of situation, go in there, knock the door down, and start commanding things? No, I'm not telling you to do that. Grow in this. I believe you're at a further place tonight. Grow in this. But I believe for some folks here tonight, this will be your year. Instead of being the person that has to bring the person to me to pray for them, you'll just say, "All right, I've got authority here. I'm going to pray. And my prayer will be as powerful as Pastor Matt's. My prayer will be as powerful as Pastor Susie's or Janice or who's ever." Because you know who you are. Because there's going to be a time when there's going to be no one else to call on, and you're going to turn around and look back, and there'll be nobody there. And I hope this teaching will come up inside of you and say, "I've been given the authority. I know who I am. I'm going to pray." Don't ever do that anymore and say, well, when they ask you to pray for them, say this, "Well, I'll be thinking about you, sister." Don't do that anymore. If you got a minute, you just stop right then and you pray. And pray in the name of Jesus. And you don't have to work up some big faith thing. Pray in the name of Jesus. and believe that heaven and earth is going to move because of your words? Who wants to be a part of Acts chapter 29? You know, there's only 28 chapters in the book of Acts. In case you're wondering, some people probably get that. Anybody want to be a part of Acts chapter 29? To act. There may be something happening this week, some emergency. There's just sometimes, like the woman that raised that person from the dead, she had a seizure right in her house. There was no call on anybody. Either you got it or you don't. And she wasn't quite sure that she had it. But she was a believer and she just acted. See, there's so much power in action. That's why I love street witnessing so much, is because you're going out and talking to people and you may be just scared spitless. But you got to rely on the Holy Ghost. And then when you get over, instead of relying on yourself, when you start relying on the Holy Ghost, then you're in a good place. Because you can't heal him anyways. He'll give you the words. He'll give you what to say. He'll show you what to do every time. You, all of you. Acts chapter 29. You're going to have your name in there? Or are you going to be a spectator? You'll be one of the ones on the sideline, cheering everybody else on. Go get them. Using that name. Do you have the name of Jesus? Do you have the right and authority to use that name tonight? Hallelujah. Well, I believe you're going to do it.